everyone. Welcome back to episode 10 of the Challenger wrap up for the world War of the Worlds 2. Someone should dub that over later. My name is Allie Lasher. I am joined by sub extraordinaire, one of very few East Coast subs we have, I found out this week while trying to schedule my insanity, a very patient friend of mine, Jonathan Foreman. Jofo, what's up?
It's weird that you wanted an East Coast sub because of the time we're recording right now. Would be like, actually, I guess it's a Wednesday night. I get this was a terrible start for me. Hi, how are you?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I think it's fair to explain after I just like randomly said that because it is, you can't really find someone. By the time someone on the West Coast would watch it on a Wednesday, it would be like 1 a.m. So we're not far from 1 a.m,
no,
but we're not
quite
at 1 a.m.
My brain is mush. I've consumed a lot of challenge content today.
Oh, good.
I was 2 podcasts behind before today, and I was like, well, I gotta listen to the podcasts. Because if I don't listen to the podcasts, I might miss something. So I listened to like the last 2 podcasts you guys did and watched the episode, and I'm here. This is
great. I'm praying for you. Honestly, you would think that listening to the podcast is a prereq for being on the podcast, but Akiva did one of my least favorite moves in RHAP or challenge history that you can do, which is big time what you're like the piece of media you're currently on, which Jordan did on this episode today, which I liked.
Yeah, I kind of figured that like I'm not important enough that I would definitely be mentioned a week after I appeared on a podcast, but I'm also not unimportant enough that I wouldn't be mentioned the week after I appeared on a podcast. So I wanted to go back and make sure that I didn't miss anything, because I know that I like had a dig at you when I was subbing with Brian about how you never listen when you're not on. And I didn't want to be the guy that came on a couple weeks later not having listened to anything to see if anyone had said anything about me. And it turns out that Akiva, you like, so apparently.
Wait, I have to interrupt you while you're about to do this artfully crafted thing you have here. Before you get to burning Akiva, okay. I have to say that you don't come on and say that you only listen to hear your own name and then expect me to just let that go along fine.
Is that how that came off?
I mean, you are doing me a favor tonight, Jofo, but that you doing me a favor has, or anyone doing me a favor has never made me feel once like I owe them something.
I think that's one of the rules of Survivor, actually. But anyway, what I learned is that I am to Akiva what you are to Stephen Fishback, which was
no one.
Exactly. Like he like did the thing where he like pretended to know who I was when he like first he called me that particular person. And then you called him out on that. And then he like backtracked quickly, realized it was something he was probably supposed to know. And then was like, oh, yeah, I know him. I know that Jonathan Foreman, who's whatever. Anyway, so he's my ops now. I'm starting a feud. But it's pretty clearly a one-sided feud because, as we've discussed, he doesn't know who I am.
Well, if you come to New York in 2 weeks, you can do all kinds of activities with Akiva because he's very available for anyone who might be in New York and wants to hang out.
You just like volunteer to keep his time when he's in New York in a couple weeks.
Well, better them than me. All right, so let's get to the episode. I have tough guy syndrome. You have clearly have tough guy syndrome right now. So let's talk about the tough guys who ended last week's episode, started out this week's episode. Where do you stand on? Well, let's like not talk yet about how this gets Turbo sent home. I feel like I have to say, I want to talk before you heard about that. Like, where were you at with this feud with them? Where are you at? Let me take your Turbo temperature in general.
So I think I canceled Turbo last time I was on. I'm going to stop talking about the last time I was on. That's annoying and obnoxious.
Wait, have you been on before?
Stop it. Okay. That's the last time I'm going to do that. So you guys had a theory. It was either you and Brian or you and Akiva. They all blend together now.
Brian and Akiva are very similar. Nobody commented about that. Probably because nobody listened far enough into the episode.
But one of the pairings talked about how like Turbo had a great edit last season. And is now having like a very problematic edit. And I'm going to be super reckless. and say that I think Turbo went on the West diet during the off season, and that's what's happening here.
I don't know what you're talking about, Jonathan.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
I feel like I would normally text you and be like, is this okay to say? But you're saying it. So
it could be whatever you want it to be. Wes likes, he lives in Austin, so he likes barbecue.
But like, I don't feel like there are any real physical or emotional changes from Turbo. I think that I will say that the change in the edit is more of a product of the fact that he got, I know I told you not to talk about him getting sent home, but if we're going to talk about the edit in general, I think it's so that people didn't riot in the streets that lovable Turbo got sent home for, like, he had quite a temper last season also. I mean, it was shown more frequently this season, but I think it's more to do with the making the means justify the end.
I guess, like, he had the ninja incident last season, right? So, and I don't, maybe there were other instances you're talking about as well. But yeah, I guess it wasn't like he wasn't cool headed, to say the least. And maybe with pairs, it's easier, to keep your cool, especially because he was with Nani, who, wasn't particularly headstrong, in the challenges. But man, it went south real quick for him.
So we've seen, I mean, I think now we're both pretty clear that MTV has a much stricter zero tolerance policy than they have in the past. Let's say that. I guess I was surprised to see Turbo go home from this.
Yeah, I was shocked. This is the first time we've had reference to like a two strikes and you're out policy.
I feel like they have said that before, like, we warned you and you did it again. Like, I don't know that that has been as firm in the past, but I feel like we got like a, this is a warning, and next time, like, we've seen the warning issued, someone's gonna come at me for like screwing this up, but we've definitely at least seen them get a warning and be told next time
they're not messing around. I'm gonna come at you for screwing this up, because I'm pretty sure in the past it was an instance of violence was the warning. Like, I remember it was some pair season.
No, I feel like very recently. No, I feel like very recently people, like, it was like, we're not tolerating it again. I mean, look, if it was an issue of violence or if it was this, like, I feel like this is not unfamiliar to me. That's all I can say.
Well, look at us, just, you know, two challenge historians yucking it up. We both know what we're talking about real good.
Look, it's easy when you're not, this is, I'll like lash out at the people who correct me because I don't ever care. Like, I can't say enough times that I don't care. I feel like I'm very upfront about that. I do not care. I mean, I'm happy to see your engagement with the podcast, but I do not care. But like, you get behind a mic immediately after watching the episode and get 100% accuracy. Like, please start your own podcast. I would love to listen in the off season. All right, back to the show.
Back to the show.
But okay, so you were just surprised because of the warning, or you were surprised because you thought like the content of, I was almost surprised that they didn't send both of them home. They'd have show if they sent both of them home.
Yeah, I don't think that Jordan did anything to go home besides, I mean, I guess like he instigated, or he didn't do anything to de-escalate. But he certainly didn't get violent in any way. And I guess Turbo, there's only so many times you can run through the security guards before they say enough is enough.
Well, that to me is what I was going to say is the biggest thing, the biggest difference. I mean, not the biggest difference. There was obviously a difference between Turbo and Jordan, but TJ seemed to really hammer home the point that it was violence towards security, like towards crew, that was like a big, or like threatened violence towards crew. Like he mentioned that twice. So I thought maybe if that wasn't an issue, maybe he would have stayed. I don't know. I just sort of like was, now I guess I understand why we saw a combined 1 hour footage of this fight, but I still actually don't really understand why we saw a combined 1 hour footage of this fight.
Yeah.
But, I mean, go ahead.
Oh, and I mean, Jordan was saying that Turbo had a case of tough guy syndrome, and it's what in the basketball world is called a hold me back. Like, you know, everyone starts to fight and they just start yelling, hold me back at each other because they're not actually going to fight. But Turbo was not being held back. Like, Turbo was going to fight. This is not, the apt time to call this a tough guy syndrome.
Can Turbo come back from this? Are we done with Turbo, or is he coming back? See on the next season, I forget.
I'm pretty sure he is, but that's okay. Spoiler alert.
That's fine.
Okay.
We talked about it last week. Spoiler alert for the episode, maybe you didn't finish, but we talked about it last week.
I finished it.
It's very late. Okay. I guess it doesn't matter. We don't have to talk about it. It is a little weird to like be kicked off a show for violence or threatened violence and then be back on the next season. I know that MTV would not have a cast anymore if that wasn't a rule. But to me, it's like a little squeaky. If you've deemed someone like dangerous enough to have to be removed from the show, it's weird to bring them back immediately the next season.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, what do we think? He learned his lesson now. Also, wouldn't it be really funny if he's not actually back and we just spent a minute like on this hypothetical and I was wrong? I don't know if that's true.
Oh, because it's never, ever happened that anyone on this podcast has spent a minute talking about something that wasn't true. I think we've done about 11 minutes so far that haven't been true. let's talk about hypocrites for a second.
Let's do it.
Besides me. Nani and Zach are talking about how they hate being on Polly's team and that side is just using Zach and Nani to further their own careers, but like they can't be controlled like everybody else can. Like, says two of the people most likely to be controlled by bananas on every season they're on. Like, did this ring like the hypocrite bells for anybody else?
You're just asking me. I was mostly shocked by Zach saying that they're trying to use this to further their own careers. Like, I know we talk about, you know, the meta game or the challenge where everyone, you know, it's a full-time job now, but I've never heard that explicitly acknowledged on the show.
Define career.
Job? The thing you do as benefits? A profession?
Are they getting medical? Like, what's, I mean, besides like emergency medical attention and ambulatory care, IVs?
I don't know. So I just looked it up. Turbo is not on next season.
Well, what a wasted minute.
We're never going to get that back.
And then what killed me too is Nani's like, the game's getting more and more difficult. Like, literally up until today, like the U.S. like can barely lose a challenge when they try to lose a challenge. Like, how is this game getting more difficult for Nani?
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, she's losing and that's the way she deals with it, right? It's not the worst reaction to someone losing a reality TV show.
But why is she losing? Because she's on Team Polly and she's on Jordan. I was confused with the way people are sitting. Okay, she's on Team Jordan.
Yeah, she's on Team Jordan.
So that's why she's technically losing. Okay, fine. But if you're winning challenges, like until this big UK plan, like had the US won, would they have sent in someone from their own team? They would have had Jenny and Georgia to send in, but and let the UK send in whoever they want. So like probably not. So like she was at this point, for all we know, in a fine position.
Yeah, I think that Nani's aware. I mean, she said it later in the episode. She knows that she's being seen as the layup. And I would be very frustrated by that as a super athletic person that I am. To think that like I'm in this position on the show just so they can get me out right before the final, and I'm just here and I can't do anything to change my fate. So I get where she's coming from that perspective.
Well, but like she knows her, she should be self-aware enough to know her skill level at this point in the game as compared to the people on her team. Like Nani's from a different era of the challenge, and like Nani's not a slouch, but like look at the field. Like, look, being Nani, like Nani, look at the field. Like she is someone who says I'm strong, but she doesn't show I'm strong. And I mean, modern day Nani.
Yeah, I guess I don't think she beats anyone on the American side. Right. And she maybe beats Kaylee. Do you think
Kaylee
there's anyone
sucks?
We're going to get to that. I don't think you're correct. Is where I'm going with this.
I mean, there's an any given Sunday sort of feel with Nani, like, and maybe a little bit more than that. Like, I think Nani has, like, maybe 2 out of 15 times she can beat some of these people. She maybe has better odds against Ninja. It depends on what it is, right? Like Ashley. Like, I don't think she's like a slouch, but she's right. definitely the weakest person on the American team right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And she can't even get through to Turbo. Like, I would, that is what would frustrate me. If I had someone who was loyal to me and like a huge ally that I trusted in the game, but I could not get them to understand how to play the game, that would be very frustrating.
And her frustration was beyond like, I can't get him to learn to play the game. It was, he's not understanding the words I'm saying. It's like, I mean, yeah, like, I'm not saying that you can't bring people on, you know, who speak English as a second language, but like, if it's going to be a strategic social game, it's really tough to bring someone on who's solely there for the physical and can't communicate with everyone on the strategic social side.
I want to give Turbo a little bit more credit that, like, yes, that was like a very funny soundbite, and it is true, like, they're definitely having a language barrier, but I also generally think like Turbo's not interested in playing a strategic game. He plays with honor, he likes to play at the best, he's physical, and I feel like he, like, we've seen him mostly removed from the strategy. Like, I think Nani could be like, they're not your friends, you can't trust that. Like, she could use synonyms for taking advantage of, and I think right. she could get him there.
But now you're asking Nani to use the brain power. Like, come on, be fair.
I just think that Turbo is unwilling to play a social game, which I strongly think hurts his future in the challenge. Like, I think he'll always be there, assuming he's allowed back on, who knows. Yeah. He would always be there and be entertaining in some level, but even this, there was just a big drop off in his value, I think, on the screen. That, like, it was worth it this season, 3 seasons from now, maybe not.
Yeah, I think that's right. I was just thinking of this. Wasn't there like a Bachelor in Paradise season where they had people on who didn't speak English? Did I just derail this totally?
No, they had a bartender. Who,
oh, not Bachelor, oh, it was like the Winter Olympics Paradise. Thing.
Right. So they had Winter Games, and then they had someone from Winter Games like be a bartender on Bachelor in Paradise, I think.
Did they find love?
The bartender?
No, the woman that didn't speak English.
I actually didn't watch Winter Games. You're on the wrong show. You got to go to Haley and Amy down the street. Okay, they're down the hall to the left.
Okay.
knock 3 times.
Well, someone will let us know, I'm sure.
Okay. I would like you to let me know why Ashley doesn't want to run a final with Jordan. I get that Jordan's an asshole. Jordan has always been this way since the real world. Like, Jordan has always been an a-hole. But Jordan wins. So I don't understand. Like, the U.S. team has not gotten along at all, and they win. Like, what is Ashley's deal here?
Okay, so I'm putting myself in the mind space of Ashley. So
your mind might stay like that.
It's going to be hard to recover from to be anything else tonight. So I'm very mean, I'm very catty, and I only care about myself. So I think...
Scathing!
I think that I've already won 2 challenges without Jordan. And that means I don't need the best on my team to run a final and to win it. And so, therefore, I don't want to have to deal with a jerk while I'm running a final.
Yeah. All right, Ashley. The calculus there makes sense from an Ashley perspective. But if I may talk to Jofo again for a minute.
Okay, hey, what's up?
I get that, but this is a very, again, and I'd like you to weigh in since your last appearance. Like, do you think they're going to run this as teams at the end?
I kind of think so. I mean, so it's the prior team season, someone's going to correct me on this. The prior team seasons, I'm pretty sure, have run as team finals. I don't think they've ever done it where they had a team season the whole way and then split it up for the final. They've gone the other way where they had pairs that formed teams. They did that. They did the reverse in Bloodlines. I just corrected myself. But I can't imagine them running it as individuals just because it kind of messes with the whole theme of the season.
I just don't understand why the gameplay has been the way that it has been. I agree with you, and I would rather see them run it as teams, especially as the teams have sort of started to whittle down. I think it would be interesting. I think the U.S. would win handily, like, if so easily, but I think it would be edited to be interesting. But I don't really get voting out the worst player, the best players on your own team, one, and two, I don't understand why they haven't talked about, like, how the money will be divided.
Well, I think they're just, especially on the UK side, they're just bad game players. All of them across the board, besides CT, are just bad.
But so it started with Laurel.
But I don't think there's a problem on the US side with getting the strong people before the strong people get you, if you're another strong person.
But right? In theory, if you were always going to win and you're just going to completely decimate the other team.
But you weren't always going to. But even if you always win, there's still the hanging risk of them snaking you before you snake them because of the way the structure works. If you were on a team where you could trust that everybody was always going to vote in the other team
right.
when you won a challenge,
right.
then yes, absolutely, I agree. But that wasn't what we were dealing with early on this season.
I guess it's more the UK, the way the UK has played, because they're setting themselves up to have, I mean, they basically already have an unwinnable road. Like,
yeah,
I don't
real
see
shit.
The way this team's going to win.
Yeah.
But then they're voting their strongest people out when they don't have a chance in hell. Like, in a way, Paulie was making this argument this episode where he was basically saying, like, we don't need Tori to win. Like, they're able to make these decisions, right? To your point before, like, they're able to say, okay, I'm going to get you before you get me, because the end result is still a stronger team than the overall enemy. But the UK is just decimated.
Yeah, for sure. I think they're just bad. But, like, you look at the way Georgia left, where she's like, all right, I want all of you to get Kaylee out, and then I want the UK to win. Like, if there's some shadowy cabal behind the scenes telling everyone they're running as individuals, they just not tell Georgia? Like, you know,
I don't know that it's, like, a known thing. I just feel like always with the challenge, and this, I've never, like, been like, it's definite, like, I don't know anything.
No, I know.
I'm just saying, like, it's, to me, it's just seemed like they have information that I don't have. Now, nobody else is, like, saying this. No one's saying I'm right. I've just felt like there's been an eerie, like, from the beginning, something has felt off with, like, what we know about the format. Now, I agree that this episode didn't feel, like, as we've whittled down, it doesn't feel like that as much. Like, I could see it make more sense, like, especially because, like, the U.S. is going to start eating itself, like it did today with Tori, or the U.K., sorry.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, Tori, so I don't even know what I'm saying. Sorry, it's late.
You were right.
Let's start again. But like, we'll it just, like, post. To me, the gameplay this whole season, just only being focused on these two spheres, like, unwavering loyalty to this alliance to get to the end without giving a shit about your own team's strength, is just a bizarre way to play a team challenge. And so maybe it is as simple as the UK is dumb, or they're just new and they're impressionable and they care more about their relationships for next season than they do about, maybe they just knew from the beginning their team was never going to beat the US team. But I don't know, it just feels funky to me.
I mean, I could see, like, the Cara Polly side going to, you know, Kaylee, Joss, and Rogan and being like, listen, we know how this game works. We know this is definitely going to be an individual challenge at the end. And they could be making it up. Like, I could see that. That's very plausible to me.
Or why isn't the UK trying to switch? Like, the main people on the UK side. Like, I get that there's more protection when your alliance is spread out. But, like, is the plan that as it gets closer to the money, they're going to switch?
That's a really good point, too.
But there's who are they beating? CT? Like, who are they beating?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, maybe, like, they all had this grand plan from the beginning, but I don't know. It's hard to wrap my brain around the strategy of this season, because I don't think that most of them are playing logically. And so it's hard for me to put myself in the mind space of how they are operating.
Like, I get why the decision this week made sense from a numbers perspective, but there is no possible way. Like, they had an opportunity to take out a strong U.S. person. Tory would have, I believe 100% Tory would have flipped, and they would have had Georgia and Tory. And like, yes, that puts them at a numbers disadvantage. Although if CT, it doesn't, if CT remains quote unquote loyal to the Josh and Rogan side. I mean, I know that he's like a swing, and we can get into this later. I'm just, this has just puzzled me this whole season. Like, it has hurt my head to follow gameplay that has absolutely nothing to do with winning the game. It has to do with making it to the final, but it has nothing to do with winning the game. And that's been frustrating for me.
But I mean, I guess if you're Joss and Rogan, right? And if you're, I guess, maybe D, and if you're, I don't know, right? And if you're Jenny, you're looking at this and you're like, oh, well, if we get rid of Kaylee, which we're going to get rid of Kaylee in some purge later down the line, and if we get rid of, and you know, especially, I guess it's really just Kaylee who's bad on that side now. It's like, well, we can take them on because they have a lot of, they have Josh, they have Ninja, they have, you know, like they have people who aren't going to be great in a final. So maybe that's what the UK side is thinking, that as that being on a smaller team, it's actually an advantage.
Yeah. Well, that didn't work for who, Jemmy and Sarah, who was like the team of two in that final.
You're the wrong person asking the wrong person.
I'm not the wrong person. I'm pretty sure I'm right. Anyway, I was also right about Turbo. I mean, you've just been at my throat here. And
it,
I would,
it is, it
if
is 12:20
in
the morning.
If it cared, I would get bedtime. If I cared, I'd get validation that I was right about TJ issuing the warning. But I don't care. All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
Here's a question that's kind of a softball for this late hour. Why is Kara so unlikable to me?
Bananas. What? Sorry, what was the question?
I have an answer to it if you don't. But Kara,
I didn't
like,
hear it.
It's actually, I wrote it as a question in my notes, but it was really a heading for this is why Kara is so unlikable. So really the question is, can you guess why at this moment in the podcast I'm saying Kara was really unlikable?
Is this when she... no, go ahead. I mean, there's
actually,
too many
no,
reasons.
I think this is fun. Like, take a guess.
Okay, so around this point in the episode in my notes, assuming that we haven't jumped ahead, I have Kara being on board to get Jordan and Tori out, which I don't think makes her super unlikable. And I have Kara blaming Jordan for Turbo being booted. Is it
say
one?
Say the first one again.
Kara wanting to get Tori and Jordan out.
Okay.
I don't remember what she said there, though. What'd she say?
Yes. So you're on the money, but here's why. And here's a direct comparison, because Cam and Kara say the same thing, but it's the way that Kara says it. So, and it, a lot of it is like how Rob often says in Big Brother, like, or Survivor, whatever, you can lie to people in the house, but don't lie to the audience in your confessional, yeah, your DR. Cam sits down, they're at a meeting, and Cam is like, Tori is going in for the girls, Jordan's going for the guys, regardless, like, we're turning on our team, like, Tori and Jordan, boom, done, confidence, kill a Cam, okay. Even if you don't agree with what she's saying, she's owning her moves. Kara, as her story always is like, I'm the good guy, but you know what? I was ready to be loyal. But we're on a team of dirty players, and because they're not willing to be loyal, I now, I have to play dirty. And it's like she blames Jordan and Tori for, like, still the Laurel business. Like, it's just always, right, it's never her move. She doesn't own it. It would just, I'd have so much more respect for her if she was like, look, I have the numbers, and now it's time to take out the people. Even if they're on our team, they're not on my team. Like, Cam.
Yeah, I mean, it's always better to just, I mean, but I kind of think that Kara's delusional. I think, I mean, Nani, like, read her the riot act at the tribune or at the whatever discussion was. But, like, I think she actually thinks these things about herself, and it's how she gets through her day. So maybe she doesn't, maybe she's not lying to us. Maybe she's just a liar.
Oh, okay. Regardless, it's frustrating. Own your game. Like, it would be so much more, like, whatever. But, what do you think of Leroy here? I mean, this whole theme this season has sort of been like Leroy stepping out without bananas, determined to win. He has sort of a rocky episode. just deciding to go with Team Polly until the wheels fall off.
I think Leroy's got the same problem we were just talking about with Kara, where he views himself as the good guy and he can't imagine himself not being the good guy in this situation. And that's going to come up with Nani later as well. But like, Leroy is making moves, which is fine. But he also can't understand why people on the other side would be upset with him for making moves. And that doesn't make sense to me.
See, my read on this was totally different, and I definitely did not get a chance to do as close a watch as I'm sure you did with all of your challenge content today. But I read this Leroy as just a viewer. Like, he has not won. This is his time. I will do anything. And I do believe that he's maybe it's just that I buy it more because it's Leroy versus Kara, and that's my own bias. But like, when he's telling the camera, I'm torn. Nani's been my friend for 10 years. I don't want to lose her, but this is a self-interested game and I'm here to win and I have to make these moves. Like, to me, that is him sort of owning it. He's not saying like it's Nani's fault for not being in. And like, he has this conversation with Nani that Nani won't let him have, which is like, I'm not going to say your name, but like, I can't be aligned with you because my game.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I think I agree with you on that. I just think his argument with Nani later, he didn't come off as well, but we can get to that later.
No, and that's true. But I think overall, Leroy still like net positive, maybe because he still has the like, I'm sort of ready for Leroy to do whatever it takes to win because it's enough already.
For sure.
All right, let's talk about this challenge. I was very, very happy to see that they finally even out like the amount of players on the uneven team. I mean, this they really had to, but
yeah, I mean, this was a challenge. It was mud ball, essentially. They were playing rugby in mud. They had, should I set it up like this? They had to go out to the middle of a pit, and it was like musical chairs. So there was 7 rugby balls for 8 people. The first 7 to return like behind some line, that was a little unclear to me because I couldn't tell who was who, gets on to the next round. Then it goes down to 5, then 3, then 1. And so basically it's a numbers game. And in both situations, it turned out that the team that lost on the 8-7 round lost the eventual round as a whole.
What was funny to me is that one ball TJ rockets.
Yeah.
I'm going to be throwing some bombs. He threw one in each time.
And it's like, I thought the purpose of that was that you hit go, and they do this in Australian Survivor. I'm sorry for bringing that up again, where you hit go when the ball hits the water or the mud. But it wasn't even that. He was yelling go like as it was flying through the air. It made no sense.
I thought it hit before he said go, because I kept watching where it hit, because like sometimes I felt like it hit way too close to the other side, but maybe it was inconsistent. I also thought the last ball, at least, he should not have thrown in, but he did, because it should have been like precisely in the middle of the mud. But
yeah, as it's like flying towards one side, and it's like, look what I found.
This is the sort of Zach and Bananas and Wes Memorial Challenge, different but very similar. I thought the UK got a very good pull here with Polly, Ashley, and Nani. I'm sorry, the US did. Like, Polly doesn't get to play, but like, are Ashley and Nani really going to be like huge assets in this competition? Like, for the US, not a bad draw. They still lose, but I thought it could have been much worse for them.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. And I mean, like, who, if I guess if you're on the UK side, who do you want from the US to be sitting out? I don't know if there's a good option or a bad option.
If you're on the UK side, who do you want to be sitting out?
Yeah.
Kara, Jordan.
For the guys, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, for the guys. I think Paulie's like a good.
Yeah.
I think like Leroy and Josh are probably on their weaker side. And that's like saying something that Leroy's on that list. But Leroy's kind of inconsistent. So.
Right. So like, unless Josh is sitting out, the U.S. is kind of in the same situation regardless. So Paulie's a smaller guy, like he's scrappy, but he might have started trying to kiss the other guys. But I don't think that it's a bad situation for him, for the U.S. side. for him to be sitting out.
Speaking of kissing guys, let's take a break to discuss the aesthetics of the men's team. A couple big moments to objectify them happen here. First, CT gives us the pleasure of, he's like, I'm finally going to take my shirt off. That's how serious I am. He's doing one for, quote, the fat guys out there.
It's really funny.
You know, CT, you don't look bad, man. It's all right.
He's got the dad bod going on.
It's like we need an emotional moment where, like, CT's self-conscious, like, with DM and CT, but, like, the new addition of that is, like, someone gently trying to get CT to take a shirt off for this challenge. But then Zach says if aesthetics could kill, Zach would be the only one alive on his team. What do you make of that?
What do you know what that means?
Yeah, so I think what he means, it's a terrible way to say this. Like, it does not make sense. I believe what he means is that the other guys on the UK team are fit, as the UK team would say. And Zach is the only fit person on his team. So, like, if everybody better looking than you would kill you, Zach would be the only one left standing.
So he's saying that Jordan and Leroy aren't fit?
Like, I think he's saying the bodies ain't right, Jonathan.
Okay. Well,
here
you can keep it.
He can keep it. Here's what I'll say. I don't normally notice Zach's body. Like, usually the challenge is like a bevy of fit people, men and women. Like, but I did notice, like, how ridiculously cut Zach is, and maybe it was as compared to his team. I didn't notice the rest of his team, but Zach did stand out to me in this moment before he said this. So that's all I'll say. I'm not going to say I agree with him.
No, I think it's fair to say that as the challenge has gotten older, the guys have gotten heftier. Like, not in, like,
as the game has matured.
Yeah,
we have, like, matured.
Right, like, you don't, like, you know, Joss and Rogan are both, like, ripped, right? Like, they're just absolutely ripped. And so, but it makes sense that, you know, as the guys on the US side are, I mean, like, Johnny and Wes and CT are, like, in their mid-30s, right? Like, they're not going to look like that anymore. And so, like, yeah.
Tell that to Mark Long.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good point.
As my dad used to say, got some mileage on him.
Used to say, tell that to Mark Long?
No, he's say, X person has some mileage on them.
Okay.
It's an incredible burn. You could have that for free.
Okay.
That's actually a missyism.
That you can have that for free?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just tried it out for the first time. I feel like it wasn't natural. All right. I think in context, she was like, boys suck, and you could have that one for free, or something like that. All right.
Sorry, the local news just came on because I was watching the World Series on mute.
Are you going to spoil the World Series? Don't do it.
Spoil it for who? It happened yesterday for everyone.
People get pissed at, you'd be surprised. I spoiled Celebrity Big Brother like years later. People got mad.
But there's a story that a woman walked every street in Lansing and it made the local news. And I don't understand. Anyway.
Nobody listening to this podcast, including me, even knows how many streets there are in Lansing.
Yeah, same.
All right.
That was
so
fun. Good aside.
Any highlights from this challenge incoming besides the bods?
No. It was a really bad for TV challenge. You can't, it's anytime there's a mud situation, you can't tell who anyone is. And when we're talking about who's winning and who's losing, if you have to show me who just got eliminated with their names and what team they're on, it's probably not a good challenge.
See, you know what I liked about it? It went by quickly.
It did.
Like, unlike the rest of this episode. It was maybe because it was a bad for TV challenge. They let me know what happened very quickly. I felt like it was efficient. It was exciting enough. And we moved the hell on. Like, something this episode could have done the whole time.
This episode did not need to be an hour and a half.
I can't. My words fail. especially when you're like up against a line and you're like 40 minutes late to record because you're watching the episode and it just does not effing end. Okay. The thing I liked about this, or I did, well, a couple highlights for me. Jordan, you know, Rogan's like, oh, Jordan's not so great because he couldn't stand up to me and CT, two of the biggest dudes on the UK. Like, I don't think that Jordan being the first one out when he was tag teamed by Rogan and CT, like, means that Jordan is not a good contestant.
yeah, like they targeted him to be the first one out. They deliberately went there so that he would be the first one out. And then they're like, ha, you were the first one out. That means you suck, even though we knew we had to get after you because you're really good.
Exactly. That's pretty much it. Oh, this is interesting. What do you think of Zach's plans for the money?
Tell me more about Zach's plans for the money.
Oh, so he said that he wants, he's not lying. No charities or anything. He just wants to make, I thought he said second wind, but maybe he said second win. Anyway, that he just wants to win and spoil his girlfriend, Jenna. And what stands out to me about that is, has Jenna been gone long enough where Zach has to say my girlfriend, Jenna, and can't just say Jenna?
Wasn't she here like a year ago?
I'm very worried. I think he always says that when she's not on.
Okay.
Like, but still, like, anytime he says it, I'm like, okay, let's get Jenna back. I don't want to hear Zach, like, Jenna fall to just being Zach's girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, if we had to pick between one of the couple to be on a season, it would never be Zach.
Zach's been pretty okay this season, though. Not that I don't agree. I fully agree. Jenna, 100% all day. Let's talk about the women. Highlight for me, Georgia outsmarted and outworked Ninja, which I thought was pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, so I was confused about the line situation. And so were you following that? This is relevant. Were you following that? Like, why was there only one line? Why wasn't it like teams on two, like bring it back to your side?
So I thought that too, but I actually liked this. Like, I liked that you could steal it at the last minute and jump over the line. Like, yeah, I agree with you, but then I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it was great for Georgia. Like, you were holding back Ninja, and all of a sudden, like, she loses the ball. And it's like, oh, mine. I got it. Look at that.
Yeah, I mean, but I would have liked it regardless. Like, I think that that's, like, a fun... It incentivizes you to continue fighting for it, because otherwise, like... What incentive does Georgia really have to, like, wrestle Ninja while she's a foot from the line? She's never going to snap it and then run it all the way through the mud. Maybe if you're on a field, but, like, she's not getting that through the mud all the way back to another side.
That's a good point.
This, though, was a really big turning point for me and Kaylee. We've been talking a lot, or just not turning point, just, like, more towards the worse. Like, been talking a lot about, like, what the hell is Kaylee even doing on this challenge? And then... in this particular challenge, like, she's so into herself, like, oh my God, like, people aren't even tackling me. Like, this is amazing. It's like, you're so insignificant. Nobody's tackling you because you're a layup for later.
And yeah, like she can't just, possibly that be that unself-aware that
I think she is. Think and she doesn't is? Help. She just, like, runs and grabs it and runs back and, like, isn't helping anyone.
Right. Cause it's like, they're obviously doing that the opposite of what we were talking about with Jordan earlier. That they're doing that because you suck. So it's not even worth, even though, like, they really should have tried to just get her out first. That would have been a much better approach because we saw how important the numbers were.
Right.
But, like, they're letting you go because you suck.
And then, like, Kara really does kill it. We don't say a lot of great things about Kara here, but, you know, in 2-on-1 with Dee and Kaylee, like, Kara is, not that Kara needs to continue to impress me physically, but I was really impressed. And then Kaylee's like, I'm not going to get my hair wet, so she better finish. Like, a line like this, maybe from Cam would have been, like, funny, but from Kaylee, to me, read as, like, pathetic. I don't know what your read on that was.
Yeah, basically that. Yep.
All right. Well, you can come back anytime.
Yeah.
All right. So every time the UK does something, Kara takes credit for it. Like, when they couldn't decide the tribunal, like, how much do you think was because the UK are bumbling idiots, and how much did Kara really have her hand in making this happen?
I think it's because there was a plan. There was, you know, the fake plan and the real plan going in. And the people who were in on the fake plan, or who were only in on the fake plan, were duped by the real plan coming through and into effect, which was that the majority alliance would be the majority. And so I imagine that there was some strategizing going on to get there. And I'm sure Kara and Cam and all of them were a part of it. But the gleefulness of it is just obnoxious.
What is the, like, why do they need to do that? Like, on the UK side, like, why are we pretending? Is it because, like, I'm just thinking out loud here. if they were to have lost, they like are agreeing to play nice so that they don't get voted in the deliberation. But why does that even matter? Because they have the numbers regardless. So I like think why?
Might, I think it might be to avoid a Georgia and Jenny temper tantrum.
But that's it. Or just like they don't have an opportunity to like work people over. Because Josh kind of seemed like, given a right amount of time, could be worked over by Theo and Georgia.
I mean, maybe it's that too. But I think it's just easier to keep the peace for as long as you can and as long as you can, especially if the people who you're breaking the peace with are going to keep falling back in line and thinking that everything is okay, which is exactly what happened here.
Just wild that people believe that. Although I guess they don't have any other option. So like, what are they going to do? No,
they were really like Charlie Brown with the football in this episode, where like they just kept being like, oh yeah, team unity, we're in this. And then the majority alliance becomes the majority alliance again.
And then Kaylee, this was like smart on Kaylee's part, but kind of sad, picks Jenny, who will have no vote. Like even then, before I even knew Georgia would go in, I was like, okay, Jenny's vote won't matter.
I mean, yeah, they, unless you think Joss is swingable, that's a weird way to put that, then yeah, but you're right, Jenny's vote never gonna matter.
I don't think he's really swingable, especially because of the relationship he has with Rogan.
I just
think that like it seemed like he would be a little bit more like susceptible, especially because Kaylee said like he doesn't like to look like the bad guy, even if he is. So like they only had like 30 seconds at the proving ground to like try to sway him, and they were just like screaming at him, you know, like everybody was screaming at him. But if they had like no hours to like work on him in private, like maybe that's all I mean, but they like never had that opportunity, and I think that's only like a 2% chance anyway. I just think it's more likely, you're more likely to sway him than Rogan, D, and Kaylee combined.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I agree with you again, so I can come back again.
Any more to say about the Leroy Nani stuff in this conversation before the deliberation happens?
Before the deliberation, no, I mean, like,
bring it into the deliberation.
Yeah. So I think Nani gets the better of this fight between Lee, you know, both before and after the deliberation. Like, she is saying, I'm not, especially before the deliberation, she's saying, like, I'm not asking you to do anything, but I'm mad at you that you're not helping me out. Like, and I think that is super fair, right? Like, if someone is screwing you over in the game, she's not asking him. She's not saying to him, like, you need to help me because you're my friend. But she's saying, I am going to be hurt if you don't help me because I'm your friend. And I think, I mean, it's like a slight distinction, but I think it's really fair. Like, she's a person. She's known this, you know, this isn't like a Survivor where you go for 39 days. You don't actually know these people. She's known Leroy for 10 years.
Question.
Yeah.
Well, two things. One, what was Nani looking for? Like, when she said you won't help me, it means you won't help me by being in my alliance with Tori and Jordan, right? And like straight up not only voting for Ninja, but like working with me the whole game? Or was like there a vote he wanted her to get? Like, why is Nani like, it's just because they're on different sides of the house?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's because they're on different sides of the house. In terms of what she's looking for, I think she's looking to vent. I think she's upset.
Well, I think like she's, so this is what pissed me off and why I didn't side with Nani in this situation is because, one, I love Leroy, but two, like Leroy is coming to her and is saying like, I'm not saying your name and I'm not going to say Ninja either. And that sets Nani into sort of like spiteful. And like, I don't blame her. Like, I definitely would have reacted like this of like, all right, go ahead, get your money. Like, it's fine. Like, I'm like, nope, you don't owe me anything, Leroy. Like friends fight, whatever. But she's still in a game and needs to be playing a social game and should have this conversation with Leroy and actually pull on his heartstrings and actually guilt him and manipulate him and play the game and say sort of like, why are you trusting that side? Like, I've been your friends for 10 years. Like, but like, not just attack him because you're pissed off. Like, to me, that is terrible gameplay. And yes, there's a real relationship involved and she can be genuinely upset about that. But to me, Nani, not only not taking advantage of this one-on-one conversation with Leroy, but then like calling Leroy out at the deliberation when I can't confirm this, but like my impression is that the only reason they're voting Ninja and not Nani is probably because of Leroy.
So I'm not so you mean that they're voting Tori instead of Nani?
I'm sorry. Yes.
I'm not so sure that I think that the plan all along was to vote for Tori because that was what we were hearing from the beginning of the episode. They wanted Tori and Jordan out. And I'm pretty sure they had this, the real plan of getting Georgia in the back of their minds the entire time. I don't think any of them planned on going in against Tori.
I don't think they voted in Tori thinking that they were going to go in, but that's a good point. I just like want to believe that Leroy still would be saying like, I don't want to put Nani in that deliberation, but you're right. They already had the issue with Jordan and Tori.
Yeah. But if you're Nani, you're like, fine, you're not going to screw me over today, but you're planning on screwing me over tomorrow. You don't see me in the final
about it,
with you.
But play the game. She didn't play the game at all. You're honestly playing a better game doing an impression of Nani than she did in the opportunity to talk to him before the deliberation.
Yeah. I thought my read on the situation was Leroy was coming to Nani and Leroy was being like, look how good of a guy I'm being. I'm making sure you're not going in. And like, if I'm Nani, I'm like, well, fuck you too. Like, this isn't actually helping me. And you think you're coming in here and helping me, or you think you're coming in here and trying to be a good guy, telling me you're protecting me, but you have no intentions of protecting me in this game. So what's the purpose of you coming in here and pretending that you're some good guy and that you're here and you have my best interest at heart?
I'm not saying that she should have like believed Leroy in any sort of genuine way, but because you have this relationship with him, you're getting more than you would normally get, which is he feels whatever percent bad enough to actually come and have this conversation with you. If we were talking about Survivor and there was like a blind side the next night, what are you supposed to do? Say like, oh, I totally understand, like forgive but not forget. And I think that Nani doesn't need to trust Leroy implicitly, but what are Nani's options right now? Like burn her bridge with Leroy and then Leroy can say, well, like Kara, well, I tried and you turned your back on me, so now I don't care about saying your name next time. Or try to manipulate the situation, try to use your relationship and, you know, keep your friends close, your enemies closer. That's all I mean. I don't think she needed to be like, oh my God, Leroy is my best friend again. I just think she like had an opportunity and like Nani often doesn't do, like she did not play a good social game.
Yeah, we don't need to keep harping on this, but I think just...
Why? This is my show.
Okay, fine. But I think that's one more point. Is I think Nani is very aware that she's being seen as the layup here as well. And so when Leroy says like, oh, I'm not saying your name, it's like, well, no one was planning to say my name. So thank you. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. No, again, yeah. Like I understand why she's pissed. I just think getting pissed, packing your suitcase and being unwilling to talk to Leroy only gives him permission to say your name when it's time to say your name.
Right. No,
whereas make it as hard as possible for everybody there to say your name, like Georgia with Joss later, like, you know, like grab him by the, I mean, Jenny was grabbing by the face, but like go ahead and cry in his face and make it hard. If he's going to say your name, make it hard to say your name. So right. I think Nani kind of gave up here and like her spirit is killed. I feel bad. Like her spirit's kind of crushed, but she did get in during the deliberation. Exactly how I feel about Kara.
Like, yeah, reading people, or is that the I shouldn't say these things. Is that the RuPaul?
Oh, like that she read her?
Yeah, is that right? Did I do it good?
I mean, I actually it was a read. It was for sure a read, but it like was sad. It wasn't even funny where she's like,
oh, yeah,
sometimes I hate her. Sometimes like I really feel sad for her and I think she just needs a break. I was like, shit, that's true.
I mean, it just like dug into her soul. It's like, sometimes sometimes I look at her and I just see her sadness and I'm like, oh my God, like, ugh, just uncomfy, but right.
It was absolutely brutal. Speaking of brutal, when Tori gets around to talking to the tribunal, she's immediately saying, I'm going to the UK. I don't care about Jordan. Did you believe Tori here? I already said I did. Did you believe Tori?
I did. I think we can talk about the strategic implications of flipping later on, but I think it actually does make more sense for her to flip. And I think that she and Jordan probably knew that ahead of time.
Yeah, I think Jordan's plan has to be to throw himself in next week and also switch. Like, I don't think like Jordan staying there would have any bearing on Tori.
Yeah, I think I think you're right on that.
But she calls out Ashley and she's like, she's such a good swimmer. And I was laughing to myself because I assumed Tori meant like in the challenge, like let's UK to UK, future UK person work out who's the best player on their team to so that I can take them out. And then when I join your team, they're weaker. But it was like so funny to be talking about swimming, like there would ever be a swimming elimination in the Proving Ground.
Right. Like we're going to have a dunk tank in the middle of the Proving Ground. Just be like, OK, like it's time to go collect some whatever from the bottom. It's like, but I think that what I got, I was following her with where she was going. It's like, yeah, let's get rid of the people who are going to be really good in the final. I'll take them out for you.
Oh, why is Kara not on the table here? Just because they don't think Tori doesn't want to go against Kara, or B, she knows there's no chance. Like maybe Ashley, who's a more minor member of that alliance, would be a better possibility of actually getting thrown in.
I think she probably knows there's no chance.
Well, she probably doesn't want to go against her. Not that I think it would be like an easy win for Kara, but I think Kara probably would have beat Tori here.
Yeah, I think so too.
Jordan. Oh, who has the energy to carry on like this? Like, I know that he's mad, but like, what is the point?
Yeah, I think Jordan's problem, and like, it's a problem I have sometimes too, so I can sympathize, is like, he's right a lot, but he just, that was awful. I just realized what I did. But he's just always a dick when being right. Like, he can't explain himself, like, explain something in a way that's not condescending. And like, and people don't like being told they're wrong, or people don't like realizing they're wrong, and they really don't like that realizing they're wrong when you're being a jerk about it. And I think that's Jordan's biggest issue.
I don't know what you're talking about, because I didn't do like a 5-minute speech at the beginning of this podcast saying I didn't care when people told me I was wrong. But as your friend, I don't feel like you have that issue. Not that you're not right, but that you're condescending about being right. This is where
my friend
did think that Leroy messed up. Like, this is where Leroy lost me, and he lost you a while ago, but this episode, but where Leroy lost me is when he's sort of like calling out Jordan for protecting Nani by being like, well, you protected the weakest person on our team. When does Nani run? I'm like, ooh, all right, Leroy, like now it's insult to injury. Like, no one asked you to do that. Like, I don't know. Jordan wasn't even really talking to you.
Right. And it's like, there's no way someone doesn't live in that house and is never working out. And so it seemed like it was unnecessary. It was definitely unnecessary. And especially with like, I mean, he was clearly mad at Nani for betraying her earlier. But it's, yeah, like it was unnecessary.
The last thing I have to say about all these antics before we get to the elimination, if you have anything else, definitely jump in. Cam saying that all Kaylee and her know how to do is make power moves. Funniest part of the whole season so far.
Like, what's one power move she's made besides outing somebody?
Sit. Ding.
We got one.
All right, let's let that take us to the elimination. We talked about the tribunal part already. Joss is a real wet lettuce, votes in Georgia. Kayla votes in Georgia. And Jenny votes in Ashley, which after a very upsetting long-ass speech about how they all agreed on Ashley.
So like, we both agreed this was stupid, right?
Well, this is... Yes, I mean, this was my whole thing is like, I don't understand why you're weakening your team, especially when like if Tori rejoined the team, I guess is it correct that there are no women on the U.S. team not in their alliance?
If Tori joins their team,
No, no, I'm sorry. Not Tory Jones. Like, Tory's in the elimination before Tory is a Tory.
Besides Nani, Nani is the Nani only isn't, person.
Oh, right, Nani. But they want to keep Nani to weaken their team. So, honestly, though, is it better to ruin your best player while keeping the other team marginally weak? Because Nani's not terrible. Or to get rid of someone in your own alliance? I guess that's the issue.
So I think,
or to get someone to get rid of someone who's like marginally weak, but keeping your strongest player. Like, I think George is better than Nani is bad.
Right. So I think this is the same. This is the pressure that D did not succumb to a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And Kaylee totally did this week, because what she did is she heard an idea from the power alliance on the US team, which would involve weakening her team, but it would be good for the alliance as a whole, which she is a part of. Right. And so she went along with it. The issue is, it's terrible for her team. It's awful for her team. And that means it's awful for her as an individual, at least if the game is played as a team sport throughout.
Here's the only difference for me with this, a couple of differences. One, D really had nothing, like no option. It was like convince. God, I don't even remember her name anymore.
Esther?
Convince Esther. I was going to say Eugene. I knew it was an E. Convince Esther not to convince Muffin not to send herself in, which was impossible, or be the tribunal and be the person who votes somebody in. Like that, Kaylee had a lot more actual say than Dee did, and there were a lot more people left, like an Esther. Like in Kaylee's position, like the issue is, who do you send in? And I think the clear answer is Nani again, because Nani's like not as bad as Georgia is good. But also, like, again, where does CT lie? Because I even wrote down the people because I was so confused with the UK's move with this. It's Kaylee, Joss, Rogan, and D on one side. Jenny, Georgia, and Theo on the other. That's 4-3. CT in the past has voted with D, Rogan, Joss, and Kaylee recently because of the numbers. And even if Tory came, it would be 5-4. Now, I guess we're assuming, or they're assuming, that CT would flip and work with Jenny, Georgia, Theo, and Tory. And that's the rationale.
So I could be totally wrong on this, but I think what's going on here is the U.S. women were like, we want to keep Nani around, and she's the only other person who can go in. So we just need you to vote in Georgia. We don't care about the numbers. We don't care about Tory leaving our team. This is what we need to do. This is what's best for our alliance and keeping all of us here.
Well, I don't think that they didn't not care about the numbers. I think they care about the numbers too. Like, A, I think they want to keep Nani there, but I'm just talking about from the UK's perspective, like, they should not have cared about that. They should, like, Nani's not enough of a dead weight on their team to warrant sending their best player home. Like, there's no way to rationalize that to me for them. But I do think that, like, I agree with you that they wanted to keep Nani around, but I also think, for now at least, but I also do think, like, they did care about the numbers on a flip, because they did that little illustration of Tory with Theo and Georgia and Jenny.
Yeah. And then, you know, we don't know where CT lies, like you were just saying. But they're also, the other reason this is dumb for Kaylee is that what if Tory doesn't flip, right? Then all of a sudden you're left with three women on your side, and it's just Jenny, Kaylee, and Dee. And sure, Tory is maybe going to keep going in over and over and over again, but who does she see herself beating from those three? And two of them are in their alliance, right? So she and Dee are both in the alliance. There's only one woman left who's not in the majority alliance on the UK side. And if, assuming this is Tory on the US side, there are two women left who are not in the majority alliance. Where does Kaylee think she stands in this alliance that she's going to, you know, make it through to the end just by playing their game constantly and keeping her team weak at the same time?
I have this in all caps. The other team always threw Georgia in. Who is the US going to put in when they lose? Like that 100%. Like, I agree. But I do think that, I mean, I guess it's not that Kaylee is self-aware, but like, Dee and Jenny are bigger threats to the U.S. than Kaylee is. Like, the U.S. definitely wants Kaylee to be at the final. So if all she, if she doesn't care about winning and she only cares about making the final, then maybe it's not that bad of a decision, but, or it's just like the same decision.
Yeah, but if Jenny goes home, right? If Tori, this is all hypothetical, but if Tori stays on the U.S. side and Jenny goes home, right, at the next women's elimination, because she goes up against Tori, whatever, who, and then the, they lose on a women's challenge. Between Dee and Kaylee, who do they think is getting voted in?
I'm sorry, you're saying if Jenny goes home?
Yeah, sorry, we're way deep in this. If Jenny goes home at the next women's elimination, right?
Right, and the UK loses.
And the UK loses on a women's elimination day, and they only have Dee and Kaylee left. Who's the majority alliance voting in between those two women?
Well, here's the thing, right? Is that Rogan and Dee are obviously together, but I feel like Joss and Kaylee are a pair also.
Yeah, but Kaylee sucks as a challenger, not just as a person.
Right. But if you put in, let me think for a second. If you put in Kaylee, I mean, at that point, the U.S. puts in Dee either way, right? Unless you're saying they put in Nani at that point.
Right. But like,
so my question is, does it not even matter though?
I guess it might not.
If Kaylee doesn't want to win and she just wants to make the elimination, I think this was sort of like a net neutral.
Yeah. I guess where I'm coming from is Kaylee is on the bottom. Kaylee would have to be on the bottom of the UK side of this alliance.
Just because she sucks. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, because she sucks. And so her making a deal that betters that is better for the US side is terrible for her individual game.
But then she either goes up against... Yeah, oh no. Well, even if she makes the final, it's terrible for her individual game because her team loses.
Yeah.
period. But if she goes in... Then she goes in against not the only options, right? Would be that Kaylee gets put in that situation and they put in Nani, or they put in Dee anyway, and then it wouldn't have mattered.
Right.
Unless, yeah. Well, all right. Well, that was a fun exercise, and I'm sure I got the whole thing wrong. But
probably.
Let's talk about this elimination. Honestly, I kind of thought it felt very random.
It was also terrible TV. I had no idea what was going on in this elimination, besides I was watching them try not to fall.
And clearly, Tori was going to win, because like they go to a cliffhanger before the second puzzle, and then they show another hour of that puzzle, or that like section of it. And so you're like, okay, well, they're definitely not cliffhanging into the third one. Like, that's it.
Yeah, no. And also, we knew Tori was going to win because they're not engaged yet.
Fair enough. Also, I gotta hand it to Georgia for making it close, but like Tori, if you're taller, like you have that. If you're taller and strong, right? Like, not to discredit Tori, but like, how is Georgia? It was really lame that it ended up 7-6 both times.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
They tried something.
Georgia's really good. I think, you know, like she made the final last season. And I think, you know, she's kind of loud and whatever, so like she doesn't, it's not clear how good she is actually at these challenges, but she's good.
Oh, I feel like Georgia's been every day she's on the challenge, it's like more and more apparent that she's really good. I thought she got credit this season. I just think like this isn't the kind of challenge that a smaller girl can make up for in strength, endurance, stamina, or heart. Like, at some point you have to like have the limbs long enough and have like the width to hold the amount of pieces. Like, it seemed like Tori just could hold one more piece. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
And Tori was being a little more strategic in that it seemed like in the second round, at least she like moved slowly to the other side and could hold all of those while Georgia was still like fighting the lockout with her. But yeah, I don't know. Like, that's not to discredit Georgia. I mean, she lost to Tori and it was close, but I just like, I don't know how you make up for this if you're slightly smaller than your opponent.
Yeah, I don't think there is. Unless you have like go-go gadget arms.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But all I could think of really during this elimination is that I hated this episode because it just makes it more and more likely that Kaylee's going to come back. Like, the fight that breaks out, like, the high drama, the fact that it works and Georgia goes home. Like, I just feel like I was so, like, steering clear of Kaylee ever coming back. And then now, like, Kaylee, like, emerges as, someone with a big, memorable move.
Yeah, I mean, she has been, like, severely under-edited for someone this deep in the game. But I think you're right. But I think we can maybe hold on to that little hope, just given what her edit has been.
All right, let's talk quickly about the decision for Tori to be the first turncoat this season. Then we got to bang through the rest of the stuff, and then we got to get off this pod. So any thoughts on Tori making the switch?
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. There once, if they get a switch on the next one from someone on their side, you know, like if a Jordan or a Josh or someone wins the next elimination, then they're a CT swing away from actually having a majority again on the UK side. And that's really great for them. And it also complicates things in terms of the US figuring out who to put in. I guess, you know, like, so if, yeah, so if the US wins, Theo's obviously going in from that side, but who does the US put in who's not at risk of switching?
Well, that's interesting. It really calls out like how much Pauly claims he doesn't care if they both switch. They all switch. We don't need any of you. But it basically will turn out that it will be a team challenge, but it'll be US versus US. It'll just be the alliances that started day one that broke the US team will just run against each other on different teams.
It seems right.
Let's talk about the drinking game. Thank you to Kyle Picard for putting it together. We got one date night TJ, two tribunal votes, and a team member, one for a security appearance, three for British slang, one if you know a song that's played, one another reality show is named, three animations, and then Brian only sent me one of the screen grabs because he's off this week. So Kyle, I'll remember to text you, but please send it to me next week. All right. So I'm going to add old favorite, old staple. I meant to add it last week. It was said a lot this week. When someone says the phrase run a final, it's about that time.
It is that time.
What you got?
And I'm going to add, I just had it and I just forgot it. It's going to come back to me. I'm going to get this.
While you're thinking.
Yeah, go ahead. Move on. Go ahead.
Well, just while you're thinking about it, I'm kicking your ass in the Randy Newpole draft. We're in 93-69.
Nice.
Yeah, nice though. I'm in fourth place and you're in fifth. So it's like I'm beating you by a lot, but we're both being beaten by a lot.
Well, hopefully my team score is just frozen now. For the rest of the
Do you know who you have?
I think I have Nani. Do I have anyone besides Nani?
You have Nani and you have Joss left.
Okay. My drinking game edition is drink anytime you get sad because this season might be going to shit.
It's
subjective and it leads to alcoholism potentially.
Yeah, no, I don't like that one.
Sorry. Drink when you're happy because the season isn't. I do wrong? Okay,
so,
did I just
also,
derail this
as
again?
As always, this is just for novelty purposes.
Yes, this is, this isn't real.
Brian Scally's team is Jordan, Ninja, CT, and Josh, and he's in first place. That's wild that team's in first place. Like, it's not the combination of four people I would expect.
You said Jordan, Ninja, CT, and Josh?
Yeah.
I guess having that low-level draft pick go deep really helps you out.
It's when you are... It's winning team, so that's three Americans, so that's helpful. Chosen as a tribunal, you lose a point if you're up for an elimination. If you win a proving ground, you survive an elimination. So it's really just like having the most Americans on your team.
And not having people get eliminated.
Yeah. Kyle also having Americans on your team. Yeah, because you had Laurel.
But speaking of like really basic understandings of strategy, the number of times that people said like, my strategy for this mud challenge is to go get a ball and then run it back. It's like, well, yeah. What? Duh.
I'm just laughing because it's like the order of this is directly in descending order of how many Americans you have left. It's like three Americans, three Americans first place, three Americans second place, and it's close. Three American or two Americans in the game in third place, but also has Theo, who's like won a lot of eliminations. Then me with two Americans in the game, but not Theo. And then you with one American in the game. Kirsten with no Americans in the game. And then it goes down from there to Brian with just no Americans in the game. And Will's out because he had no Americans on his team at all.
That's pretty ironic for Will from America.
So all it means is that this whole game was just how many Americans did you have on the team? Boo.
And all right. USA? Do we lead a chant now as we...
No, we don't.
Okay.
Thank you to OK Dara, who made a joke that it makes them feel validated that a person is smart enough to pass the bar exam, like the same trash reality TV as me. Got news for you. There's two of us.
Two of us.
And then somebody gave, because I know all of my numbers like a psycho on the wrap up reviews, but someone gave a 4-star review, which is always interests me. Like, what was missing for you? And they didn't bother to leave a comment, or at least it hasn't uploaded yet. So I'll be on the lookout for that.
If you're going to leave a 4-star review, at least leave a constructive criticism. So
yeah, let me know.
Allie knows what to do to make it.
How can we get it to 5 stars? All right. I would totally be the business owner who's like writing back on Yelp to be like, oh, I'm so sorry you had a negative experience. I wish I could respond to the iTunes reviews. If you want to get a response from me here, a thank you, you can leave us a review at rapizawebsite.com/challenge. iTunes. Let's quickly go to the Twitter. The tweets, digital communications manager, Megan Elizabeth, always at it. I screen grab some things, so I'm going to try to quickly look at what I screen grab because I screen grab during the week and then I forget to look at it. Oh, this is pretty funny. Heinz Ketchup tweeted in response to something else that Jemmy is cool with us now. And Jemmy retweeted it and said, I do not endorse this tweet, but if you like ketchup, vomit emoji, at Heinz Ketchup US is probably the move, shrug emoji.
Well, I'm glad that she... Like, are there any other ketchups? There's like Hunt's, right?
There's a lot of other ketchups.
Are
there? And there's like artisan ketchup where like people...
Artisan ketchup. I'm such a millennial thing.
All right. The other big news story this week was that like Amber from Are You the One got into like a fight with Ninja. And I didn't even see where this resolved because I was so confused. But like Amber, I guess, called Ninja a slang term that like can be derogatory. I don't even like want to say it because I'm not familiar with the word, so I don't want to say it online on air, but you can look it up. There were a lot of tweets about it, but like Amber posted a definition that meant buff and chiseled, and it's a very familiar term amongst the fitness community, but then some like viewers of this feud and probably of the show were like, it can also be derogatory. But I guess Amber tweeted something and calling Natalie that, and Natalie wrote, don't know where, and this was a deleted tweet that someone screen capped, I don't know where this came from, monocle emoji, but can't wait to forward this to staffing at your job, ... bet you didn't know I was at dinner with people who run bleep branding, hair toss emoji, if you want to talk about this, send me a message, ... So basically Natalie threatened to like alert Amber's job over this, apparently.
So did she threaten to alert the job and then say, if you want to talk?
Yeah, this is all
me,
one tweet.
Or did she first like go to the job and then say, but if you want to talk, you know, at me?
I don't think she first went to the job. I think she said, okay, like, I'm at dinner with people who may or may not work at your place. But I don't know if this place she said is where Amber works or people who'd be like connected to her, and said, like, I'm going to forward this to people based on this dinner, unless you want to talk to me. And Amber was like, I guess complimenting people isn't a thing anymore, shrug emoji, and then said, trying to hurt my pockets because you're not up to date with the word, and then pasted that definition I said, and then said, at Ninja, this is me sending you a message, I didn't tweet that to play you, it was a compliment, sis, fairy emoji. And Natalie wrote, sent you a DM, and that's when I stopped paying attention.
Perfect.
Also, for any Are You the One fans out there, if anyone remembers Julia from Are You the One, who was with Steven, what season was this? This is just off the top of my head now. Julia. So are you familiar with the girls who flashed at the World Series?
I am.
Are you familiar with that? Like, one of them was on Are You the One season 4?
I am now.
Okay, so Julia was on season 4, and she was like in this tumultuous relationship with this guy Steven, and they were not a match. And then they like continued their relationship outside of the show. Every once in a while, like once a month, I go on a Twitter black hole on her social media because she like gets recommended to me, and she like runs this like adult magazine. And some tweet reported that she makes like $125,000 a month for this magazine. It's like a pornographic magazine. And she flashed with another woman to promote the magazine. People were saying it was like breast cancer awareness or something. It was like to promote her magazine. And that's why the MLB like then sent her a letter saying she was banned for life from the stadium for like promoting a business and exposing herself at the game.
I thought the magazine industry was dying.
I think it's like an online magazine. I mean, I'm not that familiar with it. You're welcome to like go look into it.
And with that, you can follow me at Last Tweets. You can follow Brian at CohenBryant_. You can follow guest co-host extraordinaire Jonathan Foreman at JoFo322. You can subscribe at RobHasAWebsite.com/challenge iTunes. And join us next week. We will hopefully be joined by good friend of mine, Johnny Langan. And until then, we will see you next week. Bye.